2005-16, and you've been the Associate General Secretary of Home Missions then, since then, right? You came back and you took that position. Okay. Al travels all over the place. I get to see Al and also John Shaw. November, you hear, I'm going to Orlando. Well, Al and John put together the conference, and it's excellent discussion, all kinds of aspects of church planting and how to help church planters. So, Al, thank you very much for coming to Harvest. Did you have my conversation with Stephanie?
You're supposed to pay attention in class. And I missed the last thing you said, Mark. I'm sorry about that.
It's
Stephanie's fault.
Now, don't worry. There will be discipline.
I do thank you for that edifying message, an encouraging message, Mark. That was it was great to sit under your ministry today. So receive my thanks for your efforts at delivering the word of life to us. Well done. So I don't think I've ever been here before, and so it's overdue. But I do want to say that when I came in, more than just a few of you recognized my name, greeted me warmly, and said, "We have prayed for you. You're a missionary. You were a missionary in Uganda, and you got the country right, and so it's very well done. It's not to be assumed, but you scored 100 today, so thank you for that. Thank you for the warm greetings. And I do know, although I've not been here, I do know some of you. Of course, Mark and I are friends. I know the Troxels. Hi, Craig and Carol. Nice to see you. And the Phillips and I served together in Northern Virginia before they traveled west. And so we have really good memories of those days and continue to have them. And Carol Horton visited us in Uganda. We couldn't figure out what year that was, 2006, maybe 2007. And that was a great time, wasn't it? Yeah, you had a good time? Because you can go back. It's still there. Uganda is still there. So I remember driving around with Carol in the African savanna and hearing her say, "This looks like Hawaii." And I thought, I would have no idea. I've never been to Hawaii. But that, you know, maybe I shouldn't have said that out loud. I'm not sure that comment is really good for fundraising. So something about that place, right?
It was really blooming after the rain season, I guess.
Okay, so you were there during the green season, which is short. The brown season is longer, at least in that part of Uganda. Okay. So, anyway, thanks for this opportunity. I do want to share some things with you. I have an up-to-date home missions map. I wonder if I can ask for volunteers to distribute this. I've got 20-some copies, probably not enough for every person, but certainly every family. So I'm sorry about that. I've been in Southern California since the 7th of this month, going around and handing out maps, and I don't have quite enough left over. Your last stop. Sorry about that. So I do thank you for praying for my family during those years we served as your missionaries, and we were your missionaries. We lived on your prayers. It's a blessing that's very difficult to describe, knowing that there are so many people serving Jesus in the U.S. and thinking about us, our lives, our work. So thank you for doing that. And I would ask that you continue to pray for your brothers and sisters in Karamoja, which is where I served, and in Mbali, the southern station of the Uganda Mission, and all the other missionaries that you support. We do need those prayers. About 4 years ago, my wife, Lori, and I made the difficult decision to leave Uganda and return to the U.S. And it was a very difficult decision, actually. We loved our lives there. We believe in the work. The work isn't done. But, you know, we went there with 5 children, and one by one, they returned to the U.S., and they didn't come back to Uganda. So had we gone for another term, our 5th and final son, in his case, would have left. And so our thought was, maybe it's time now to serve the kingdom differently and to be closer to our expanding family. And so that's what we did. And I left missionary service without a call. But around the same time, when I was looking for something to do, home missions was looking for someone to do some things. And so we had a conversation, and I received the call to serve as the Associate General Secretary for the Committee on Home Missions and Church Extension. I'm going to finish it, Mark, of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. It's a bigger title than even you thought. That's who we are, and that's who I am. I want to read to you a text that is really familiar. I know that it is, but I will follow up with a question. This is Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." That's a precious and long presence, isn't it? So here's the question. We call this the Great Commission. I think it's a good name for this text, these words of our Lord. How do you respond to Christ's Great Commission? I don't want you to answer out loud, but it is a question for you to think about for 5 seconds, and then I'm going to give you the answer, at least part of the answer. So how do you respond to what Jesus has said? Your response, at least in part, is what we call worldwide outreach. Mainly the three program committees of our OPC, right? The Christian Education, Committee on Christian Education, Committee on Home Missions and Church Extension, and the Committee on Foreign Missions. This is the Orthodox Presbyterian Church's effort to fulfill the words of Jesus, what we call the Great Commission. And you are part of it. We like to say that this is the whole work of the whole church. A small church, in a way, 330 congregations, mission works, something like that. But a church that joins hearts and resources to bring the gospel in all its fullness to the nations. At our recent church planter training week, I shared an image with the church planting couples who were there. We do this once a year. It's in January. It's always in the South. So we had it in Florida. Next year's Phoenix, I think. So we bring church planting couples to some warm place in January, and we do some training, lots of prayer. The program committee guys come and share, and it's a really great time. But here's an image that I shared with them, and I want to encourage you, as I hope I encouraged the guys and their wives. There was a time when the magazine for a major airline, I think it might have been Delta. I don't fly Delta anymore. It might have been a different airline. I don't know. But there was a time when that magazine included a flight map with red lines extending from all of the hubs to all the destinations around the world. Have you seen that? Does it still exist? Okay. It's an impressive map and difficult to read because of all of the lines that sometimes just sort of blur together. Where does this line, you can't find where it goes because there are so many of them. But it does provide a very clear impression. There are a lot of routes. There are a lot of flights from one place to many other places. Now, I want you to imagine a map of the United States. The points of departure are not airports, but 300 plus congregations of the OPC. And then imagine a red line extending from, let's just say, Harvest OPC. A red line extending from Harvest to 29 different mission works presently supported by the Committee on Home Missions. And then imagine 300 churches with 29 lines emerging from each one of them, to the various home missions efforts that are being supported by the committee. That is the volume of support that home missionaries receive. And you can add to those lines our foreign mission fields, and then you've got, it doesn't quite rival Delta, but that's a lot of lines. And the fact is, we're all connected. It's one church, one cause, great cause, Christ's cause to disciple the nations. And you don't have a small part in this. You have a huge part in what is happening around the world for the sake of the glory of Christ's name and the increase of his kingdom. So receive my thanks for that. And be pleased to know that that you are part of something significant and really big. So receive my thanks for being a support hub. And keep praying for the harvest. Harvest, do it. Now, it might be good to remind you that the Committee on Home Missions and Church Extension does not plant churches. I say we. I'm not really on the committee. I serve the committee, but I'll say we. We support congregations and presbyteries in their efforts to bring about a harvest by the grace of God through church planting. And so presbyteries plant churches, as you know, because your presbytery has planted many and continues to do so. And we're there to help and to support your work, not only by funding, but that's part of it. It's a big part of it, but also through training and encouragement and prayer and developing accountability structures for church planters and resources, materials that we want to make available to those who are doing that hard work. And it is hard work to plant a church. I've never done it, actually. I've done it overseas, but that's different. And I'm really pleased with the families that God has given to us who are willing to take up what is sometimes a very lonely work, but it's a very important work. And so praise God for those families. Ordinarily, we support with finances for 4 years with the hopes at the end of one term, a mission work will become self-supporting financially, maybe organized even as a church. It's not always that tidy. Sometimes things happen early. Sometimes things take longer. But that's the idea. And we're happy to have our part to play in this great work. So you have in your hands a map. I'll tell you that the map you have in your narthex area is very, very close to being right up to date. It probably came out of the last New Horizons magazine, right? This one is actually hot off the press. It's got two works that don't appear there, so whoever's in charge of switching, you might want to take this one and do it. But well done. I've visited churches that have bulletin boards that are way... Not to complain. A little bit. Let's just say I am happy to note that you are paying close attention to what's happening in OPC Foreign and Home Missions, and I give thanks to God for you for that reason. And for many reasons, but for including that reason. So, I don't know. I'm not always very diplomatic, but that's my story. So anyway, there's the fresh map in front of you. The front page is an edited version of a recent New Horizons article. The back page is a recent Home Missions Today distribution. Thank you, by the way, for including foreign missions in your bulletin for prayer. Very good. Do pray. And for Uganda, how nice is that for me to be here on a Uganda day? So thank you for that. I don't know if that was... it's God's providence, whether it was a coincidence or not from your end, right? Okay. All right. So, what time does Sunday school end? Not that I'm going to pay attention.
12:15.
12:15. Okay, that helps me. Okay, so this map shows you the people that are doing the work. You see the staff is there. I will say that there's already one, this is a new map, there's already one error, not error, but one picture that is not up to date. Katie Stumpf has a step back a little bit in her work after the birth of her second second child. So we're really, really grateful for the work she has done. You know, it's not really right to call anyone perfect, but she is near perfect, and we're going to miss her. But a young woman, a seminary student by the name of Catherine Olinger, I think you know the name Olinger, is taking up that work and being trained even as we speak this week. So we're glad for Catherine, and we're thankful for Katie. Notice that there are six couples in the bottom left corner, regional home missionaries of our presbyteries. We have 16 presbyteries, and we have six RHMs, and two of them are due to retire sometime this year, certainly by the year's end. So we're going to need some more guys, and in addition to that, we have four other presbyteries engaged in active search for regional home missionaries. And so the demand is high, the supply is almost zero. That's not really fair to say, but they're out there. We just haven't found them. And so you can pray that God would provide men to take up this important call. You know what regional home missionaries are. You know Dave Crum and Jane, as do I, and to know them is to love them. And so you know that regional home missionaries work toward the formation of mission works. They take up the work of church planting until an organizing pastor comes. They have significant personal ministry to church planters within their region, so there's a lot of work to do. And the committee has established some special funding meant for presbyteries that are just beginning an RHM ministry. And three of the four searches are for RHMs in their presbyteries for the first time. Presbytery of Northern California, Nevada, New York, New England, Presbytery of the South. So we're ready to support with more funds, but we can't support a program without a guy doing the work. So you can pray that God would provide those things. So there are the works, and let me maybe highlight a few things from the map. Then I want to share a unique ministry that has come to me, and then finish before the time, I hope. So you can ask questions if you have them. But anyway, there's the map. The two newest works are in Farmington, Maine. Micah and Eileen Bickford are there serving. Micah is a Maina, as they say. And grew up about 20 miles from Farmington, went to seminary, spent some time, you know, working with a group of people that were interested in having a reform witness in their town, and eventually it developed to the point where the presbytery said, yes, it's time to develop, to receive this as a mission work. And Micah has actually been the stated supply there for 2 years, and just last month began support from our committee, and is taking up the work with significant familiarity, not only with the people, but with the turf. You know, we want church planters to become very familiar with the communities where they work. And sometimes that takes, you know, half of the support time for someone to get up to speed that way. In the case of Micah, he's already there. So be thankful for the dozen families or so, and Micah and Eileen, and the work that they have, I can't really say they've begun, but they've begun as people on the map last month. The other new work is in Deer Park, Long Island. Bill and Margaret Shishko are serving there, and they also started receiving support last month. Bill was a pastor in Franklin Square, Long Island, in Nassau County. This is in Suffolk County, for 35 years, I think. And then took up the role of regional home missionary and was working to develop this group in Deer Park, a place in need of a reformed witness. And when the time came for this work to be received and for a search to begin, it occurred to just about everyone except for Bill that he was the guy to take up this work. And when John and I suggested that to him, he prayed about it, and he and Margaret decided, yeah, we should do this. I mean, these people, they already love Bill. They see him as their pastor. If you know him, there's a lot to love. Margaret, sweet, wonderful, Christian servant. And Bill loves New York. I love New York. Bill loves New York. I Hartney and all that. Bill, he just adores living on Long Island. So who are we going to find to take up that work? The RHM work was beginning to close down as well, and for various reasons. But he made the transition, and he's doing a great job. And by way of a little commercial, let me say that a description of this strong beginning will appear in the April issue of New Horizons, so you can look for that. The church plant is called The Haven, and it is a mission work of the Presbytery of Connecticut and Southern New York. There are a number of works that have been approved for support, but have not yet received candidates for the work. And I'll list the two I think may be the next ones. The first would be in West Plains, Missouri, Southwest Missouri. There's actually a man on the scene there who is a school teacher, minister in the OPC, and it's likely that he will take up that call probably in the summertime. So we're glad for that. And then there is a work in Yorktown, Virginia. I think the Jenkins might be interested in knowing that. You'll see that there is already a church in Virginia Beach. You lived in Virginia Beach, right?
Yes.
Okay, so. And do you know about this congregation that's already there? Okay, you want to know about it?
Sure.
I'm going to tell you. What's that? Lowell Ivy and May, and their, I don't know, I think four children serve in Virginia Beach. And I'm not going to give you the whole story, but if you don't, some of you already know the story of Lowell Ivy. If you don't know it, then just search the Ligonier website and you'll find an interview with him. Lowell came to believe in Jesus while he was in high security prison in Texas. 15 years he was there. And he was searching for something to listen to on the radio, found this wild Christian ministry. He told me the name of it, but it's Pentecostal sort of ministry. And he just discovered that he needed to believe in Jesus. And so he said, that's what I want to do. I want to believe in Jesus. And then he had many years left, and he began to study. He finished his bachelor's degree while he's in prison. He found Reformed Radio. I think R.C. Sproul, some other guys. And so when he came out of prison, one of our Dallas area churches took him in, pastor discipled him, said, this man has potential for usefulness in the kingdom. Let's send him to seminary. He went to seminary, graduated, and now he's a church planter with about 100 people serving Christ together in Virginia Beach. And I visited twice. So I'm just here to tell you that Lowell, he's not fancy, if you want to, I don't know if that's a good thing to say, but I think you know what I mean when I say it. But he is a brother who preaches like a changed man. And you could sense it, almost smell it. Don't tell him I said that, but I think you know what I mean. So he's preaching, you know, pleading with people to come to Christ and follow Christ, and freely walks around his neighborhood knocking on. Well, he brings one of his kids and he lifts him up to press the doorbell, and then he puts the kids down, and the kid has literature, and so it's not Halloween or anything, but he's there with no costume. They open the door, he hands it, and Lola just says, I'm a pastor in the neighborhood, I'd love to invite you to church. I'd also love to tell you how Christ has changed my life. They let him, and he gives testimony to grace to people he doesn't know, and people are coming to Christ. It's really exciting. Well, here's something else that's exciting. And Mike and Robin, you'll be happy to hear this too. Some people are coming from Yorktown to worship in Virginia Beach, and he's thinking along with his session. It's newly organized, just months ago it was organized. We need to have a church in Yorktown. And so here was a church plant planting a church. Now it's an organized church, but a new church planting a church. And we're going to support that work as soon as a man is found to take up the call as organizing pastor there. But until that time, Lowell and some others in the session who are able to preach are filling both pulpits, and they're doing a great work. And you can be thankful that you're part of that work, even as far away as Virginia Beach is from San Marcos. Nice building, by the way. Mark told me the whole story. Really great. I don't know why I said that. Well, anyway, it is. I speak the truth. I speak the truth. Really nice building. Let me tell you another story. let's see. If you look at the state of Ohio, you'll see three mission works, and one of them is in Huron, Ohio. And to be perfectly accurate, that would read Sandusky/Huron, Ohio. And I'm going to tell you why. Do you know the name Larry Oldacre? You might recognize that name because he's been on this map as an RHM for decades, it seems. And he took up this work as an organizing pastor about 4 years ago. And it was not going well. Huron, Central Ohio, not a lot of people, not a lot of interest. Larry's a committed evangelist, does a great job reaching out to people, but people weren't coming. And after about 3 years of work, following 3 years of work as an RHM, it was still a small mission work of about 15 to 20 people. And so you wonder, is this really going to ever do anything? So he gets a call from this guy who is a lay preacher in the town of Sandusky, 7 miles to the west of Huron, a larger city, actually. And he said to Larry, I came to visit your church once some years ago, and I was happy to hear you preach. And then I began to listen to people who think the way you do, and I've come to embrace the Reformed way of thinking. But I'm in a church that is not from that tradition. It was actually, I had never heard of this before. Craig, help me out here. It was a oneness Pentecostal church. Have you heard of that before? You have. Okay. So I guess they're non-Trinitarian, and I guess they're, Pentecostal. It's in the name. Well, this is a church that at that time was about 50 people. You know, they're renting a place. They had no pastor. This competent, I guess, elder of the church was leading them. And pretty much the whole church embraced the Reformed way. And so the two works merged. Larry's still the home missionary, but it is anticipated that he will become the pastor of the church when they organize. This guy is being trained. He stepped down from leadership happily. He's being trained for elder. And Larry is on cloud nine. All these years of wondering, you know, is God going to bless my efforts here? And now we have a pretty strong mission work in Sandusky. And he had to baptize the whole church. Because they weren't baptized in the name of the triune God. And so that was a blessing. There are a few families that left, but most of them submitted to the Word of God in all of its fullness, as we like to say, and have put away their false teaching. How cool is that? So that's happening in the OPC, and you're part of that. Okay, I got 10 minutes left. So let me share with you briefly a couple of new initiatives the committee is taking up. One is church planting internships. So you see in the upper right corner, three guys. Maya, he goes by Maya. Maya Dickinson, Tyler Dietrich, Juan Kim. Maya is with Dick Gerber. I think you know that name. East Haddam, Connecticut. Tyler is with Brad Pepo in Dayton, Ohio. Juan Kim is with Eric Hausler in Naples, Florida. The thought here is this. We see seminary grads who have an interest in church planting and who seem to have potential. Let's give him a specialized internship with men who are either experienced church planters or in the midst of planting a church. And so we pair them up. We fund them fully. The Christian Ed Committee gives its regular amount. I don't know what that is, except we top it up so that the church plant or the congregation is not faced with any financial costs. We've done this. This is our third time doing it. And you can pray that this would produce some fruit for the kingdom and for home missions. That's one thing. So I want to say something about the work in Clarkston, Georgia, which is a new kind of initiative, but I won't do that quite yet. Let me just say that we also have special funding set aside for congregations that want to give birth to daughter churches. And let's just say it this way. When you're ready to plant a church, Harvest Session members, don't forget, we'll give you more money. So we've done that a number of times, and it's we believe that the mother-daughter church, what I mean by that is when a congregation sends families to somewhere fairly nearby, and the session of the congregation oversees the mission work. It's a mission work received by the presbytery, but overseen by a local church with people they know. That's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. John Shaw, my colleague, John and I, we think that this is a good way to plant a church, and we want to support strength, and so we received some money and have set it aside for this purpose, to give an initial boost financially for this kind of effort, and then the regular program of support on top of that. So Mark, Gabe, Mike, just keep that in mind when the time comes. And everybody else can also keep that in mind. Okay, so some years ago, God gave me an interesting and surprising ministry, which I really can't say a lot about because I don't have the time. But let me just share this. David Nakla, I think you all know. You all know him. Some of you are related to him, I think. David Nakla, he came into my office with a question that he had received that day. The question is, what is the OPC doing in refugee ministry in light of the migrant crisis? This was a couple years back when people were talking about refugees more than they are now, at least worldwide. And so that began a conversation that continues. And it's a great interest of mine. And I do, in fact, visit churches to talk about this. And if you ever want to invite me back, I'm happy to come. After today, you have to decide whether that's a good thing. This is really, it's something that interests me because I did spend 11 years as an alien in a culture that was not like mine. And when I moved to Uganda, I had a comfortable place to live. I had a salary from the first day. I could use my mother tongue, especially at the beginning, with ease. But I still felt the discomfort that one feels when you're in a culture that is not like your own. And I asked the question, what if I were to drop into a place like Karamoja without knowing anyone, and without any money, and without a home, and without connections, without knowing the language? You know, how difficult would that be? And then what if my host families were to not welcome me or say hurtful things to me or ignore me or persecute me? How would that feel? And so I've come to learn that there are many people in our country who feel that way, certainly the discomfort, but also the lack of welcome. And I have this sense that the opportunity for the churches, including our church, to welcome people for the name of Jesus is there and continues to grow. And I would like to help all of us to think more creatively about how we can receive the stranger. I mean, if I read Matthew 25 right, when we receive and welcome strangers, we receive and welcome Jesus. And I know that that's mainly the King's brothers Of course, there are many Christians who are fleeing from their homes. By the way, there are 70.8 million people in this world who have been forcibly displaced from their homes. That's one in every 112 people who live on this planet. Just think about that. And it continues to happen. So anyway, that's something that I've been thinking about. And let me just... So there's a teaser. I'll come back and share more if that's something you're interested in doing and having me do. These thoughts did develop to the point where we have a refugee ministry in Clarkston, Georgia, where refugees are gathering from dozens of different nations. It is called the Ellis Island of the South, and we have a man there by the name of Chris Cashin who has been serving for 2 years in refugee ministry. He's seen some fruit from what he is doing. Two families from West Africa have come to Christ and joined the local OP church there in Doraville, Georgia. And it's a work that's under development, under review. We don't know what the future of it is, but I'm very happy to tell you that we're doing it, you're doing it, in that place. And I think that if we can just think about other ways to welcome the stranger for Christ's sake, I think that would be a good thing to pursue. And maybe you know that the pastor of that church is himself a refugee from Eritrea. His name is Zacharias Abraham. I think some of you may have met him. And so the heart of that church to reach the nations that are at their doorstep just 7 miles away is considerable. So thank you for hearing that. I won't say any more because I'm out of time. But I deeply appreciate your welcome of me and your fellowship and your kind attention to what I've said. I think I could take a question or two if that's okay. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
What are the main criteria you use when selecting a new city or new area for church planting?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, there's an answer that the GA committee gives, and there's an answer that presbyteries might give, and we want them to line up. So we're a support agency. So presbyteries work on that question and then present church planting plans to the committee. Then the committee approves the plans, maybe. Not always, but usually, often. And then a candidate is found, and then the committee interviews the candidate and support begins. But I think that every presbytery has a different story. Sometimes the church that is growing and wants to do the work of the Great Commission by dividing and establishing a new church. Sometimes a core of families are in a neighborhood where there is no Reformed church and they contact us and they want help. Sometimes we do what we affectionately call a parachute drop, where we take a man and send him somewhere with no contacts and see what happens. That usually doesn't work, but it does sometimes work. So Eric Hauser, the brother in Naples, Florida. We have no church in Naples. He had connections there. His father lived there. I think maybe his mother-in-law also lived there. So they were in Ada, Michigan, Eric and Donna. And we said, let's see what happens. Because this guy is just, I mean, he is an evangelistic beast. He just loves sharing Christ. So we send him down there. We give him extra support. And he's got nobody. And now there is... this is 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago. Now there's an organized church there. It is substantial. They've got a lot of money. They're building plans. They're taking interns. Like, one of these interns is with Eric. And it was just sort of ideas coming together. He wanted to move to Naples. The presbytery said, okay, does he have what it takes to plant a church there? Okay, can we get the committee's help? So, I mean, I don't know what else to say about that. I think... You know, it's good to plant churches in places where there are a lot of people and maybe not so many fraternal congregations. We have to coordinate with other NAPARC churches. But that's not the whole story. You'll see that in Middle America, there's almost nothing going on. I don't really know what to say about that, except if presbyteries want to plant churches in Kansas, we're going to have a conversation. So anyway, that's something to say. Thank you for the good question. Maybe one more. Yes, sir.
So we have a lot of young people here. And so I was thinking about the promise of the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. What advice or what could you say to the young people here as they think about the future and pleasing God and careers in the ministry?
Wow. That's another very good question, and thank you for it. The harvest is plentiful, right? Laborers are few. You know, that's a prayer request that came directly from Jesus. Are there other prayer requests? Professor? Anyone? In the Bible where Jesus actually... I mean, he taught his disciples how to pray, but this is a request that he made, right? Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send harvesters, right? Workers. And so what do I say to young people? Number one, obey Christ and pray. Number two, know that people may be praying for you. It could happen. But I would say, you know, read all of the letters and pray for people who are serving in this way. Be very close to your local church. Ask your elders at a very early age, would you please observe my life? Because I want to be most useful for the years that remain to me here until the Lord returns. I mean, I think the best route is through local church engagement. Serving, discipleship, prayer, and opportunities. I mean, there are so many, but the more you read, the more you learn, the more you have people come and talk to the church, I think the better for the youth, but for all of us. Isn't that true? So that's here are some thoughts for you. I'm done, Mark.
Well, Al, we'll have to have you come back, okay? Look forward to it. Thank you, brother, for sharing with us. It's encouraging. He could have gone a lot longer, and we could have gone all over the country and talked about different church plants and what's taking place. Our presbytery is, I don't know if it's a parachute drop. It's kind of like that. We're going to send someone to Thousand Oaks in June. His wife, her family lives there. They're both from that area. They know the area. They got a number of contacts. And it's an exploratory work. We're giving him a year to see what the Lord does in the course of a year. And if God is putting it together, we will take the next step as a committee with more funding and go to our national committee, our GA committee, and say, here's what's going on. They already know about it, but here's what's going on, and we would seek funding from them as well. So Caleb Smith is his name, and they're starting in June, so I'm excited about that. We think it's got great potential.
I love Caleb. You're stealing our pastor. No hard feelings. Just so you know.
Well,
one of our pastors.
Okay. Let's pray. Let's get the Lord. Father and God, we do pray, as we have been instructed to pray, to send out laborers. It's amazing when those of us who have sensed a call and have followed that call, it's been challenging. It's been difficult at times, but it's been most amazing to get to serve Jesus and to get to tell others about what Jesus Christ has done for us and is doing, Lord, and to get to open the Word of Life to people who need it, and we all need it. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We pray that you'd raise up many to serve in different capacities and different ways and in different places, both home and abroad, Lord. Thank you that we're a part of it. We thank you for Al and John and the committee that serves and helps presbyteries and churches in these things. Bless their ministry. Keep these two brothers safe in their travels around the country. Bless them with their families when the families have to say goodbye to dad, to a husband for a while. Bless them, Lord. Give them very special times together. Father, we ask your blessings on the remainder of this Lord's Day. It's a beautiful day. May we enjoy you and one another, all because of what the Lord Jesus has done for each one of us. Mm-hmm. We pray in his blessed name. Amen. Mm-hmm.